Well, it's good to have you back here with us, everyone. Did you take care of your pets before you came, Hazel?
Of course.
Yeah.
They like to eat.
Remember how many dogs Hazel has?
I've got three.
Do you remember? Three.
Three, right?
Three, yeah.
And what other pets?
And I have two parrots.
Two parrots, boy.
And their English is pretty good.
And they can speak English,
yes.
Right?
Do they talk English every 10
Do
minutes every day?
Do they talk to the dogs? Yeah.
10 minutes every day? Yeah, just but some part of it's yelling.
Oh.
Well, pets are kind of fun. And, you know, they say that pets make good companions. And people, you know, it takes away sometimes their worries and their angers because there's something about pets that just make people relax a little bit. And it's good to have pets, don't you think?
Yes, it is.
But it's harder if you live in a city because you can't take them out, exercise them, and things like that. Parrots are pretty good.
Right.
Do you ever let your parrots out of the cage, though?
Yeah, sometimes.
And they get to fly around the house?
Not
Keep
too
the windows
often.
Closed.
Actually, they don't like to fly around the house so much. They would rather find something that they shouldn't get into and then get into it.
Okay.
Maybe chew on wires or something. So you really have to watch them.
Mm. Well, pets are fun. We have to take care of them. And we talked about dogs and being a best pet owner yesterday. And there are more and more regulations, I know, in America about adopting one. You have to sign something, and you have to be responsible. You can't just say, I don't want it anymore, and put it on the street. And so I think that's good, don't you?
It's good to have laws that protect
yeah,
the pets.
I think so. What do you think?
I think it's definitely good to have laws to protect the pets. I mean, I think in an ideal world, we wouldn't need them because everyone would be well-informed and responsible pet owner, but since not everybody can do both of those things, I think it's also good to have laws to inspire us to be responsible.
A lot of people don't realize, you know, that pets are animals and they have life and they have feelings and they need certain things and they think they're just cute things to have around to pet, but they're more than that. They have to be taken care of, don't they, Joe?
That's right. So I think having a clear kind of standard of how to take care of them and what your responsibilities are, it's important.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to start here on page 45 today, and it says here, fat cat. Now, I can see a picture of a fat cat here, and if I see a fat cat, I really feel sorry for that cat because it's not good for a cat to be fat like that.
No, it's very unhealthy, and we know it's good for animals to exercise, but when they get as overweight as this cat, you think maybe it would be difficult for it to exercise.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Or if you have a pudgy pooch. Now, a pooch is a dog, isn't it?
Sometimes we call a dog pooch,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
And pudgy just means kind of fat. Fatty dog, right?
Yeah, sort of short and fat is pudgy.
Mm-hmm. Fat. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's time to exercise if you see one like that. That's what we're going to read about today. This is kind of a different article than yesterday, but on the same subject of taking care of your pets.
Yes, and so yesterday we looked at different ways to be responsible as a dog owner, and we did touch a little bit on how important good food is for a healthy pet, but today we're really going to be focusing more on what happens when your pet has too much food.
That's true. So if you open up your magazines, if you have them, to page 45 or just listen in, we're going to talk about the nation's cats and dogs. That's talking about America. But you know, there's many countries in the world where there's so many of these dogs and cats that are out in the street. I remember going down to Brazil and seeing so many wild cats, 40 or 50 in the park, just running around. They call them feral, F-E-R-A-L.
Yeah, feral animals can be a big problem sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And you can find them in a lot of countries. People don't want them, and they dump them outside the city, and it's so sad. So America has had to make some laws, and I think a lot of other countries should do that too, don't you think?
I think, especially when it comes to domesticated animals like cats
yes.
and dogs, that they
right.
should not be allowed to run wild or run feral, that they ought to be taken care of.
So we're going to find out more about this, but there's some interesting things that we can find out that we might not have known about, some facts and some statistics. So let's read the whole first section here, down through line, 14?
Fat cat, pudgy pooch, time to exercise. It's estimated that as many as 59% of the nation's cats and 54% of its dogs are struggling with obesity, according to veterinarian Ernie Ward, author of the book Chowhounds, Why Our Dogs Are Getting Fatter. We actually think the numbers are higher, Ward said, and that vets are underreporting and sidestepping the problem lest they risk offending clients. Pet obesity can dramatically shorten a pet's life by contributing to crippling arthritis, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, kidney failure, and a variety of cancers.
It is amazing and kind of terrifying to see how high the obesity numbers are for cats and dogs. To see that 59% of the nation's cats and 54% of its dogs are struggling with obesity sounds about as bad as just people in general, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, so obesity is a huge problem in the United States, and sometimes they say that pets resemble their owners or vice versa. And it sounds like certainly pets are also struggling with obesity. And, of course, when we're talking about obesity, we're not just talking about just being overweight by a little bit. We're talking about being very, very overweight.
Mm-hmm. And then in other countries where they don't take care of these animals, they run wild. They're too skinny, and they don't have enough to eat. So it can either one is not good for them, right?
That's
either
right.
One is not good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this veterinarian, Eddie Ward, he wrote a book. And what was his book about?
Well, Ernie Ward wrote this book called Chow Hounds. And chow means food, and hounds is a kind of dog. And sometimes we say a chow hound, meaning someone that eats a lot, loves to eat food. So I guess it's talking about dogs and cats that love to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And especially dogs. This is why our dogs are getting fatter. So that's the topic of the book, why are our dogs so overweight?
One of the things that's also interesting about Ernie Ward's book, I was looking it up because it first describes the issue, why is there more obesity in dogs, and then the last half of it is about how to get your dog to trim down, and the author promises if you follow the steps in the book, you can get your dog to a healthy weight in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think a lot of us would be really impressed if we could get to a healthy weight in 6 months as well.
Maybe I need this book. I'm not a dog,
yeah.
But I could lose some
weight. We need work for people, that's true. But, you know, the numbers are even higher because the vets are not always reporting. They're under-reporting. You know, sometimes when I look at some of the news, I think they over-report every little thing that happens. Somebody says, I call that over-reporting. But right. Under-reporting means they don't say anything about it. Maybe they should. So under-reporting is also not good. Now, is under-reporting and sidestepping the same kind of thing?
No. So when you under-report something, it means that you are not reporting it or talking about it enough. When you sidestep something, it means that you're actually avoiding a subject or a topic by not talking about it.
So you're going to sidestep the problem because they don't want the people that are coming to them. The vets don't want to lose business. So if you tell them some things like that, to say, I'm not going to go to that vet anymore.
Right.
That's too bad.
It's so fascinating because if your pet is obese, you should probably know and take proper steps. But I think, you know, I have friends who call their dogs their fur babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they would take it personally that mm-hmm. their dog is overweight or not healthy.
Right. They think they know better than the vet sometimes, right?
Yeah. And it's also, it's also hard when you think about letting your pet go on a diet because when the pet cries for something, more food, more treats, you cute little thing, okay.
And they whine.
Right, and you don't know what to do, so you give in and you give them extra mm-hmm. food and then they get extra pounds.
But, you know, it's really bad because it says here in line 10 that pet obesity, and this is true with people too, it can dramatically shorten a pet's life. And it can help the people. It works for everybody. Don't get too overweight. But it contributes to it. It helps them to become crippled with arthritis. And diabetes. Even cats have type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure and kidney failure. It sounds like what people get from when they eat too much. Doesn't that sound like that to you?
It's really odd. You know, to me, I never knew that pets, like dogs, could get type 2 diabetes. I thought was just sort of a human problem.
Right. And high blood pressure. You know, my cat has high blood pressure. We didn't used to think of that, but now they're measuring those things more.
Yeah, and you know, yesterday we also had talked about how important it was for different animals, that different animals need different types of food, and how important it is to feed your pet the right kind of food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they're talking here about pet obesity is because a lot of times we end up not just feeding animals too much, but we feed them a lot of food that they wouldn't normally eat or is not really that good for them.
And, you know, sometimes people will just say, well, I don't want to eat too much fat meat, and they just throw it to their dog. Well, if it's not good for you, it's probably not good for your dog, too. And they say that it's not good to give dogs a lot of human food because it's not good for them.
And it's also good to check if you give your dog dry food, like I do sometimes. You know, dogs usually eat meat. So if you see that corn or rice is the first ingredient that's in the dog food, it might be good to find a different brand.
To try to find out what is good, healthy one. Yeah, that's true. Well, and it goes on to tell us if we love our pets, what we should do. So let's read the next section on the page 45, starting in line 15, over to the second column.
If you love your pet, one of the most important things you can do is keep your pet at a healthy weight, Ward said. The first step is having a frank discussion with your vet and figuring out an appropriate plan for feeding your pet and doling out the right amount of treats. Next up, though, is the fun part, exercising with your pet to burn off calories and pent-up energy.
Okay, so if you love your pet, of course you love your pets. And so you want to keep your pet at a healthy weight, too. And that's not always easy to do. If you give them too many of these pet treats, whether it's dog or cat treats, they eat too many of them, then, just like you, if too many treats, you're going to get fat, and so is your dog or cat.
So this is something that Hazel had mentioned before, where a lot of people don't like to think about putting their animals on a diet because being on a diet is hard, and your pets will end up whining and crying and seeming to be really unhappy. But you do have to remember that your animals that you love don't have a whole lot of time on this earth, and you really want them to be as healthy and as long-living as possible. So it's really in everyone's best interest to really get the diet right.
Well, you know, it's not always that they're hungry. Like I know we have a dog at our place, and the dog can eat his dog food first. But if we're eating, come over and go, and they want to eat our food. And they've already eaten, but they're not hungry. They just see you eating, and they think they need to eat, too. Do your dogs do that, or did you train them not to?
Sometimes they do that. They just are very close when I'm finishing my sandwich, and they're thinking they might get a piece of bread or something. In fact, usually they do.
Yeah,
that's
they get a little piece, right. Well, if you love them, you know, it's easy to do that. But you have to keep the healthy weight. So you have to have what they say, a frank discussion, which means just to be right and just say, now tell me the truth. Don't just say one I want to hear. A frank discussion means a very downright open discussion, right?
Right. Another way we would say is maybe straightforward.
Straightforward.
Right.
So
you don't really, you know, hide anything. You just go straight to the truth, very open, very honest.
Say your cat is too fat. Your dog is too fat.
So a frank discussion with your pet. Oh, and your vet.
And your vet. About your pet's food.
Yeah. Your pet may not want to listen to that too
your
much.
Your pet doesn't want to hear it, but...
But you have to have an appropriate, which means a suitable, means the right one. Don't just do it sometimes and not other times. And you have to feed your pet, and then you have to, when you say doling out, that just means give them a little bit at a time. Don't just put a whole lot of it there. Okay, you can have one now, but you had one this morning, only one this afternoon. Dole it out bit by bit.
Right, that's right. You have to be careful and cautious about how many treats your dog gets.
So when I had dogs in Costa Rica, it was a very unique situation because our dogs were in part of our bed and breakfast, and we had an open floor plan. So it was very easy for the dogs to be kind of hanging out around with a lot of other people. But because part of the experience were our guests eating at the table, I never let anybody feed them by hand. And the reason why is because then they would start expecting
that. Jump up on their lap.
And they would jump on their lap or sit next to the table. Not everybody is comfortable with that. But that was just specific to our situation. Like, there certainly are times that are appropriate to give your pets treats. And we would also give them treats, but not in the area that the humans
would eat. Not when
they
were eating.
Exactly.
Well, you know, even when you go to the zoo, they'll say don't feed the animals. Because if you could give the monkeys and all the animals in the zoo, if everybody throws too many treats at them, they get too fat. And sometimes it'll kill them, too. So it's not just dogs and cats. Don't do that when you go to the zoo. Don't throw food in there.
Right. When I take the dogs on a walk, I go by this breakfast shop. And they get so excited because the lady comes out and gives them bread. And they're hard to handle. And now when I even go close, they start barking. So I can't even walk that way anymore because the dogs would go crazy.
They're pretty smart.
You know, the breakfast owner is just trying to be very friendly. She's just trying to be nice to the dogs. But actually, it's all that bread is probably
But if everybody does that, they're going to run.
Right.
No wonder there's so many people go down, oh, what a cute dog, and they want to throw them something to eat, you know?
Yes.
Right. Nobody's really thinking, like, this piece of bread is going to break their training or give them, you know, diabetes, or no one's really thinking about everything else that's going on behind that.
Well, besides, there's a lot of foods you can find out when you look on the web, even what things you could never give your dogs or cats. Some things, I think it's grapes or nuts or something, are poisonous to them.
Chocolate.
They can't eat that. And so, you know, give them a piece of chocolate cake, you might be giving him heart failure. So you have to be careful. So if other people feed your dog or your cat, you're going to be in trouble too.
And I think you need to also be cautious about treats that are made specifically for dogs. Where are they made? How old are they? Does it cause your dog to choke or have problems digesting? So be very careful about even the dog treats that you give your
dog. That's true, yeah. So there's a lot involved with this, see. So, and then, of course, you have to, the fun part is exercising with your pet to burn off calories and this what they call pent-up energy. And you'll notice that if you watch that the pet show that I was mentioning, you know, why they even have dogs on treadmills running and trying to lose weight, but they can't go outside. So they have to keep a little exercise. But what about if you have a cat? Let's read about the cats.
If you have a cat. Cats don't jog. They are built for short spurts of energy. Ward suggests using laser pointers and remote control toys to drive your cat insane for 3 to 5 minutes of play at a time, working up to 3 or 4 sessions a day, for a total of about 20 minutes of play each day.
So we're talking about dogs and cats. And if you have a cat, cats don't go out jogging. You don't see people walking their cats. Cats like to go outside and run around and do things on their own, climb trees, jump over fences. But you don't see people walking their cats.
No, you don't. And usually it's dangerous to let your cats outside, or it can be. So a lot of cats are just kept inside. So it's important that they get exercise. And you have to help them.
It depends on where you live. In the countryside, our cats used to go outside. But in cities, it's not safe.
Right.
You know? But they don't jog like dogs. And they have these short spurts of energy. All of a sudden, they'll jump up and around, and then they'll be tired and sleep again, right?
Right. And so, again, here the advice is, you know, it's not like a dog. You can't take it out for a walk. Although, I will admit, I have a neighbor who walks her cat.
Now, I have known that I've seen it, but not very often.
The first time I saw it, I was very confused.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen too often. Most cats don't want you to walk them, you know. But I've seen on the, you know, if you look at Facebook and all, they'll have these little short films and they'll show cats that looks like they're trying to catch the fish, but it's just not real fish, and they're jumping around. Have you seen those things?
Yeah, it's like a iPad or something,
yeah,
with fish swimming around. Or
that seems kind of unfair, though, because there's no real fish there.
It's unfair to the iPad, too.
Flashing lights. But these are laser pointers and remote control toys that drive your cat insane. They're crazy. They want to catch those fish and they keep hitting at them, but there's no fish there. It's just behind the glass, right?
So this is a little bit of high tech. When I had cats, I used to go sort of low tech with just us. Just a string.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Pull a string around in front of a cat, and they'll go after it. And it's fun for you, too.
String
right?
on a ball on a string and bounce it around.
Or sometimes a feather, something light that they can grab onto. But it doesn't really take all that much. It just needs to be something that they can attack really quickly and then run around and chase and then go lay down.
That drives them mad, drives them insane.
And then they need a cat nap.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. They do need one, so... But sometimes you have to do that 3 or 4 times a day, not just once a week, see? And it says a total of about 20 minutes of play each day. And some people do not spend any time playing with their cats. And that's why these cats are so obese, as you see here. They need to jump around. You need to play with your cat. People don't think about that. They just pet their cat and have their pet sit by them. But you better let your cat jump around a little.
That's right.
Right. I think it's kind of easy to forget that you have to do these things with your cat, especially... I don't know, most cats I've seen, they sort of live off on their own and, you know, you're like roommates, you know, in your apartment.
Yeah.
And so when you come home, you know, take that little laser pointer string feather or something and just kind of play for a little while and enjoy actually having a pet.
At least 20 minutes a day.
Yeah, you know, and I think what Joe said is right. If you're going to have a pet, you need to spend as much time as you can with your pet. It's really important, not just for your pet, but also for you.
Mm-hmm. And your pet does need it, though, and you need to pay attention to them. And they can get very sad and melancholy without people playing or talking to them. They need attention, don't they?
Yes,
and they'll
they
come
do.
Up and rub up against you and want a little attention.
They love attention.
Yeah, they do. Well, dogs and cats both do need attention, and... It says here if you have a dog, so we talk about cats and dogs, but let's read the final section where it talks about if you have a dog.
If you have a dog. In contrast to cats, dogs need longer workouts to help them reset their energy levels, Ward said. This does not mean you should take a dog that has been a couch potato and try to make it run 5 miles behind your bike. That is a recipe for disaster, he said. Instead, aim to condition your dog by working your way up to a brisk 30 minutes of walking each day or 2 15-minute walks. Start out with leisurely walks of about 10 minutes apiece and increase time and intensity by about 10% each week until you hit your goal.
So your dog is different than a cat. In contrast to cats, dogs need longer workouts, and they need to reset their energy levels. You need to, if they're couch potatoes now, you need to slowly work up to more and more exercise.
I didn't know that cats and dogs were couch potatoes. I know they like to sleep on the couch, but we usually think about somebody that sits there watching TV all the time as a couch potato. They don't move like that. But animals can also use that term. They like to just sleep someplace.
Yes. I think that's true with certain breeds. You know, yesterday we were talking about terriers, and terriers are definitely not a couch potato breed of dog. I think even with, you know, a more modern lifestyle, terriers just constantly are running around. But there are
They seem kind of nervous sometimes.
Right. And
what about poodles? Are they kind of nervous too or not?
No, not if they get enough exercise. Some of the tiny ones might be. They're very
like
small.
Maltese, they don't seem to like to want all that exercise.
Yeah. I think poodles... I think they kind of adapt to your lifestyle better than some dogs.
Mm.
The border collies you were talking about yesterday, they love to run and cause trouble if they're bored, I think. They want to work.
They very much want to work, and they want to feel like they have a purpose out of motion. And so, and they can get emotionally sort of damaged if they don't have enough exercise. And that's part of what they mean here when they say to reset your dog's energy levels is that, and different dogs are different ways. So I also had a friend who had a Whippet, which is very similar to like a Greyhound style of dog, only smaller. And that dog was only happy when she was running behind him.
But can they run that far? Since you try to make it run 5 miles behind your bike, That seems like a kind of a long trip. Isn't that too much for their heart, 5 miles?
It depends on the dog. You know, huskies are designed to run across Alaska. But, of course, not all dogs need to run that far.
Your poodle doesn't go that far.
I have one that doesn't even want to walk at all. But the other two love walking, and they would walk as far as you let them if the weather's nice and it's but you can't just do that suddenly. You need to work up to it.
Just like people.
Yeah, like people, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and some dogs, even though they aren't really interested in exercise, they're still really important to engage
them. And you're with them and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
So if you plan or aim to condition your dog by working your way up to this, brisk, fast, 30 minutes of walking every day or 2 15-minute walks, start out slowly.
Yes, and that's good for their walkers, too. Like if you're walking your dog, you're getting exercise, too. So that's a great thing to remember.
And then increase the time and the intensity of it. And so pretty soon, they'll like it better, and you won't have fat cats and fat dogs.
Right.
But take care of them, and you can find so much advice about taking care of dogs and cats. Just remember that when you get one, that you're responsible, become responsible pet owner, and take care of it.
Right.
And don't plan to just keep it for a while and then give it away. I'm tired of it. It's like adopting into your family, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's important. Well, thanks for being with us. And this has been kind of an easy lesson in a way, but still there's some good information here, and it's good to talk about some of these things. So talk it over with your friends. If they have fat cats, tell them to play with it more. Have a good time. Have a good time with your animals, Hazel.
Okay.
And maybe we can go over and play with her dog sometimes, too. That'd be fun.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thanks for being with us, everybody. And I hope you have pets in your life. And they'll be a big comfort and joy to you. We'll say goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.